You guys want the red pill or the blue pill? That's how I feel tonight. Do I look like him? Yeah. You seen the movie? Yeah. Do I look like him?
Yeah.
Morpheus.
Morpheus,
yeah.
Morpheus.
Are those your glasses?
Yes, these are my glasses. These are my Morpheus glasses.
Oh, put your mic on and you're live.
You want the you want the red pill or you want the blue pill? Red pill, you go deeper. And you can, but if you want the blue pill, you can just go back to. You didn't see the movie? Sharon. Sharon, like, just take them off, Pastor. You're just ruining your whole image. All right. All right, Elohim Tov. Whatever. Elohim Tov.
Kol Hazman.
Elohim Tov. Praise the Lord. We are here, and I did feel like Morpheus because we're going to go a little deep tonight, and I want to take you guys with me on this so that we can understand where we are and what's going on. I'm so glad I didn't become a pastor to be a pawn or a puppet. So we're going to go deep tonight.
Amen.
I want to thank. Is this Sandy Norris? This is a card from Sandy. Oh, no. And this is from Clay and Sandy. And they're up there in Three Rivers. And is this, this is the one you gave me, Pastor Ben, right? Is this from Catherine?
Yes.
Yes, praise the Lord. Let me see what Catherine has to say to me. Give me a minute, you guys. I just want to look at this card. Pastors Sandy and Pastor Ben, the Lord has put in my heart to send you this. I have prayed. It's a blessing. And it says, your ministry blessed me so much, and I don't know where I would be without you. I know so many others feel the same way. P.S. Rebecca's mom. And this is from Kathy Litton. So praise God. A watcher. She put on there. So, and then I have this other one. This is from Deborah because she always sends me a good card or a good letter of encouragement. Thank you guys for all the encouragement. I need it because this is a tough job. Okay. Are you guys, you know what? Now I can say you don't even have to be watching YouTube now. You can watch the regular news and you guys should know what's going on. You guys know who Jeffrey Epstein is?
Yes.
Huh? Do you know who Jeffrey Epstein is? No, you haven't been watching the news then. Well, that's good, because the news can be very depressing. And right now, I don't even want to give away President Trump's secrets. And I don't want to, when somebody's going to make a good chess move, you don't want to tell on him before he does it. And then he can't do the great chess moves that he's doing. But let's just say over 5,500 pedophile arrests since he's been president.
Wow.
Okay.
You'll hear that on CNN.
They're not going to put that on CNN. Okay. His latest one is the biggie. This is like catching a big fish. Because inside that fish is a lot of little fish. And that have to be pulled out. And once they're pulled out, we're going to find out exactly what's going on. Look at Barbara sent. You got one too, right, Pastor Ben?
Yeah, she did. Gave me one.
Now, America. Barbara, keep America great. I like that. We don't have to. We got to keep America great coin. It's a Donald Trump silver dollar. Somebody say, you a Donald Trump fan. I'm a fan of anybody who's pro-life.
Amen.
And anti-pedophilia.
Yeah.
And then promised you that he was going to get rid of it and is making a big dent. Do you realize you guys have no idea what's about to happen. But let me tell you, Jeffrey Epstein in prison means that a whole lot of people, he had, he has on CDs, because he was blackmailing people. He has on CDs all the people that were involved in pedophilia with him.
No, a paper trail?
He got a CD trail, and they pulled them all out of his house.
No!
So everybody that's in those CDs, okay, are going to be indicted, okay? You've got to understand what's happened here, okay? Now, they're going to have to send him some protection, because I know a lot of people. But even if they tried to kill him now, it's too late, because they already got all the evidence.
Yeah.
This is, it's a lot going on. So anyway, they're going to try to, he said in a tweet, he doesn't email, in a tweet that he was going to use the full strength of the government to eliminate pedophilia and human trafficking throughout the world. And you can say it, but when we see you doing it, you a man of your word.
Right.
Okay? And he's doing it. Okay? So they caught one of the biggest fish ever in Jeffrey Epstein.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that in a minute, but I am so excited about this, because inside of that, a lot of other people are going to have to ask. Bill Clinton was at Jeffrey Epstein's island 26 times. Okay, and you think he don't have a Bill Clinton CD in there? Yeah, I think he does. He has a Bill Clinton DVD in there. I bet he has there's a lot of people that, because that's what you call, honey traps. You know what a honey trap is? Honey trap is like if you want, like you got $1 billion and you have a very great popularity with the people, okay? If I can get you to do something evil and get it on tape, then I always have this on you. Therefore, now you've got to make sure you pay me and you support me, and because I always have this on you. It's a honey trap, okay? They do it on politicians all the time, big people with big money. So this is what Jeffrey Epstein was doing with all the DVDs. They're all a bunch of honey traps. And so when they start going through the CDs and seeing who they got, oh, I hope they have the courage to go out and arrest everybody that needs to be arrested, okay? Now, you guys need to understand why this is all going on. The title of tonight's message is Feeding Nephilim and the Rapture. You know Feeding Nephilim is? You know Nephilim are half human, half angel, and they've been in existence in this world since Genesis chapter 6. Okay? And these Nephilim slept with women. They had giant children. The children that died off became demons in the world. Those demons survived the flood, and they found a way to come back. Okay? Because that's what Barack Obama wrote on the World Trade Center. We return stronger. We rebuild. We come back stronger, right? So, and the scriptures in Daniel chapter 2, verse 42 says, in the end, they will mingle themselves amongst mankind. So they are mingling amongst us. They're living amongst us. And during the tribulation, they're not going to hide anymore. They're going to be fully exposed during the tribulation. Okay? So people are going to be dealing with Nephilim during the tribulation. We're dealing with them now, but they're still hiding.
Yeah.
But in their hiding, their behavior is still the same. So let's look at this real fast. I want us to first, I'm going to read these two chapters from the book of Enoch so you understand them. I read it a couple of weeks ago, but I want you to understand who they are and what they do. And this is what I want to read to you, okay? These angels that had children by human women, and they became giants in the world, and these angels taught human beings a lot of evil things. And it says here, It says, then they took wives, each choosing for himself, whom they began to approach and with whom they cohabited, teaching them incantation. Incantation meaning the bringing up spirits, okay? Incantation, the dividing of roots, showing them also how to use drugs to open themselves up for demonic possession. And it says, the women conceiving brought forth giants, Nephilim, okay, whose status was each 300 cubits, okay? These giants devoured all which the labor of man produced until it became impossible to feed them. When they turned themselves against men in order to devour them. So they started eating humans because they were eating up all of the vegetation and everything. And it says they began to also injure birds and beasts and reptiles and fish and eat their flesh one after another and drink their blood.
Yes.
I want you to understand what they're doing, okay? So, these Nephilim were on the earth before the flood, and they were on the earth, and they are on the earth after the flood, okay? If we stop playing church, we can find out what's really going on in the world, okay? Because there's a lot of things that go on while we're playing church. There's a lot of things that go on that God is trying to say, wake up.
Mm-hmm.
Stop sleeping on the word of God. Stop acting as if your salvation doesn't mean anything.
Amen.
Stop acting as if there's not a real spiritual war going on. Because in the spirit realm, God is fighting a real spiritual war. You have no idea how many demons your angels have to beat up each day just so you can have a decent day.
Amen.
But there is a spiritual war going on, and God is fighting for you every day and sending angels to fight for you every day and working things out for you every day. And we treat Christianity as if it's just some other religion, and we're talking about having a relationship with the living God who created all things. So, in this verse, I want to read this other one here. It says this. Now, watch this. Now, the giants who have been born of the spirits of flesh shall be called upon the earth evil spirits, and on the earth shall be their habitation. So where do the evil spirits live? On the earth. Who are the evil spirits? They are the offspring of the giants that died. Physically they died, but spiritually they did not die. You understand? So their spirits are in the inhabitants is on the earth. Okay, they would love to have a body back.
Right.
They would love to get a body, and they figured out how to produce bodies through DNA. Mm-hmm. But they were messing with DNA before we were even thinking about DNA.
Yep.
Okay. And so it says, evil spirits shall proceed from their flesh when they died, because they were created from above. And from the holy watchers was their beginning and primary foundation. Evil spirits shall they be on the earth, and the spirits of the wicked shall they be called. The habitation of the spirits of heaven shall be in heaven, but upon the earth shall be the habitation of terrestrial spirits who are born on earth. The spirit of giants shall be like clouds, which shall oppress, corrupt, fall, contend, and bruise on the earth. So God said, there has been a big problem that has come into the earth realm. And that big problem is, not only did they sleep with women and produce giants, but those giants, when they died, their spirits have nowhere to go because they can't go back to heaven. In Enoch, God hadn't even really, created hell yet. It's after that Enoch watches God create hell so that he can have a place to throw them in.
Huh.
Okay? So I want you to understand that the book of Daniel says in the end times, that they will mingle themselves amongst the seeds of man. Now, how are they going to mingle themselves? I'm going to show you something, because what they got this thing called 23, DNA 23 or whatever. Mm-hmm. You lick a piece of paper and you send it in and they can tell you where all your ancestors come from. Mm-hmm. Just send it in so we can find out what your DNA is, so we can use your DNA so we can produce another living being.
No.
Oh, y'all thought they just was interested in helping you find out if you what part of Africa you from? Oh, I'm from, you know. No. You're giving them your DNA so that they can mess with that DNA and produce a hit. You don't need much DNA to produce.
Right.
Okay? Now understand what's going on. Now watch what they were doing. This is in the book of Jasher. Watch this. It says, and their judges and rules went to the daughters of men and took their wives by force from their husbands according to who they chose. And the sons of men in those days took from the cattle of the earth and the beast of the field and the fowl of the air. And it says, and they taught the mixture of animals, one species with another, in order therewith to provoke God. So they start mixing genes, different animals with different animals, mixing genes just to provoke God by messing with the DNA of each animal.
To provoke God.
And so we have to understand what's going on now. Okay, let me say, I'm going to say this real fast because I got to get back to the study. My brother said he saw a UFO before.
It's like, truck driver.
Really? Yeah, the truck driver. He said he saw a UFO before. It's like, really? It's like, yeah, I was just sitting there. It was sitting, it stayed right there. He said, I started saying Jesus, Jesus. And he said it took off. And then I had a friend in Montreal. She said her and her sister saw aliens land in their backyard. They lived in the country. And she said she saw them. And they ran back in the house. And she said, okay. So we're like, is there really such thing as aliens, Lord? Or what we're looking at are fallen demons that are trying to figure out how to produce a body so that they can live. Because their thing is this. One of the guys said this, okay, and I'm going to find this video. He said they took him on the ship and they showed him a video. And he says, he said the alien asked him, what do you see? And he says, just some kids and their family, and they're washing the car. And he said it just looked like they were just all having fun washing the car. He says, see, one of these days, we will be among you, and we will be just like you, and you won't even know it.
Wow.
Okay? Now we get a general, an army general, who said that when he met with some of the aliens during late 40s and early 50s, he said what? He said some of them... He said, look so human. He said, he was joking with one of the other officers, said, one of them could be president and we wouldn't even know it. They look so human. So I want you guys to understand what you're living in, okay? Because the Spirit of God is in the world suppressing what Satan wants to do, and you have no idea what he's suppressing. You have no idea how much the Holy Spirit is holding back so that you can have a decent day without being scared to death every day. But once we're gone, the cover gets taken off.
Amen.
And now they're going to see exactly who they're dealing with, okay? Because now there's no need to deceive you. You understand? We're going to keep going. So they're here. And what do they require? Child sacrifice. Let's look at a couple of scriptures here. Let's look at Psalms 106.
Verse 36.
Psalms Because we don't understand that the nature of Nephilim and the nature of Satan and the nature of demons has not changed. They're here, but you can tell who they are by their behavior.
Yep.
Okay? Because the things they do, human beings don't do. Okay? Mm-hmm. So let's read here in Psalms chapter 106, and we're in verse 36. And it says here, they worship their idols, which became a snare to them. They sacrificed their children and their daughters to demons. They shed innocent blood, the blood of their sons and daughters, whom they sacrificed to the idols of Canaan. And the land was desecrated by their blood. Now, who do you think is encouraging human beings to sacrifice their children? The scripture says behind every idol is a demon.
Amen.
Okay? So they are in this world and their behavior hasn't changed. You know, Satan still requires and still asks for, because he's over the principalities.
Yeah.
He still requires child sacrifice. And they're still producing child sacrifice for him. Okay, so look, the scripture says they will be on the earth. They will bruise us. They will do many things to us. But it says they will be here. Now that they're here, their behavior hasn't changed. They still want child sacrifice.
Amen.
Okay. I want to read one more scripture because you need to read this one, too. Let's go to, I believe it's Jeremiah 30. Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 7. I think it's 7, verse 30. Let me look at that. Yeah, chapter 7, verse 30. Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 30. Oh, man, I hope you guys, please. Chapter 30, verse 7. Listen to this. It said, the people of Judah have done evil in my eyes, declared the Lord. They have set up their detestable idols in the house that bears my name and have defiled it. They have built the high places for Tophet in the valley of Ben-Hinnom to burn their sons and daughters in the fire. Something I did not command, nor did enter my mind. God says, sacrifice of children is not something he commanded them to do. And he says, even the thought of it has never even entered God's mind to sacrifice a child. So where does this thought come from?
Wow.
Satan.
Amen.
Who wants sacrifice of children? Satan.
Yep.
And so that's what we have in this world right now, okay? 100,000 children disappear every year. You think the planet would be in a panic. You think everybody would be screaming, this has got to stop. 100,000 children disappear every day, and nobody asks, like, everybody's still going to the mall, still trying to get the new cell phone. Nobody asking, what's happened to 100,000 children that disappear every year?
Amen.
And in Aleister Crowley's book, he said one way to conjure up demon is perverted sexual behavior, homosexuality, child pedophilia, all this stuff. This is how you bring forth demonic spirits. Okay? So he encouraged them to do these things to bring forth demonic spirits. Listen to what I'm trying to tell you guys. Because for every strange, weird Christian that hates Donald Trump after what he's doing right now, getting all of these people arrested and put in prison behind what they've been doing to children for years. Okay? This hasn't just started. This was going on with the Bushes. Nobody's getting arrested though with the Bushes. The Clintons, they were making money off of it until Donald Trump got elected. Okay, off of child pedophilia, they were making money off it until Donald Trump got elected. Okay, so through the Bushes, the Clintons, and Obama, this type of behavior, this type of business had grown from, I think they said, $50 billion to $150 billion worldwide. Trafficking children and child pedophilia had grown. And we have in the church your best life now. Mm. Now we need to pray. We need to be on our knees about what's going on in the world. We need to be praying for souls. We need to be praying for the protection of people. We need to be praying because a lot is going on under our nose while we play. I'm shouting this week. You can't do that. And then we think that's Christianity. That's not Christianity. We're supposed to be winning a lost world to Christ. We're supposed to be fighting spiritual battles. That means we need to be on our knees praying, trying to ask God to do things, miraculous things in this earth realm. Somebody was praying for those kids because Donald Trump is president, and they can't figure out yet how he became president. They're trying to impeach him today. Today they said, we decided we're going to just go ahead and try and impeach him. We'll go right ahead because God put him in there, and I think all of them will have heart attacks and die before Donald Trump gets out of the presidency.
And they didn't pass.
It didn't pass.
It did not pass.
Of course. You know, trying to impeach a man that got the best economy, brought back businesses. It's crazy.
Amen.
Okay. So let's look at this, because I'm going to go over here and we're going to look at this because I want to show you what's going on right now. Okay.
Amen.
All right. Come with me, Pastor Ben.
We ready.
Come with me, Pastor Ben.
We are ready.
Now, I wish that as Christians we weren't so soft so we could understand what's really going on. Because, I mean, God really wants you to enjoy life. And he really wants you to enjoy your day. Mm-hmm. But he doesn't want you to be oblivious to what's going on. He says every day you wake up, what does he say? Put on the whole armor of God. You think he's saying that for what reason? Because there's no war going on?
There is a war going on.
Like telling Pastor Sandy, put on your football uniform. We got a game? No, just put it on. No reason. If I put my uniform on, I'm going to tackle somebody. You understand? Somebody getting hit, right? So you put your uniform on because something's about to go on. God is telling us every day, put your uniform on. Put your whole armor of God on, so that you can stand against the wiles of the devil. You understand? Because you are fighting not against flesh, but against principalities, and against darkness, against unseen spirits. You're fighting against this. He says every day you wake up, and you need to know that while you're on that earth, because this is not your home, okay? You are in this world, but you're not of it. When Jesus comes back, then when he sets it up, then he says we'll reign and rule with him for 1,000 years. But for right now, this is not your world. Nothing in this world agrees with you. They can't even stand up and applaud and applaud when the president says he's pro-life. Got a whole bunch of women wearing white, and he says he's pro-life, and they're sitting there like he said. Then he says we just arrested 1,080 pedophiles who are taking advantage of children, and all these women in white sat right there while the other people over here clap. So you tell me something's not mentally wrong, okay? We have a war going on. You're in the end days. We have a war going on, and God is in the middle of it. You're in the middle of it because you're living in the end times, okay? Now, check this out. Who knows who this guy is? That is Jeffrey Epstein, the billionaire. Let me use my hands with this. The billionaire. You know why I say that? Because he didn't really have no money. The financier, great money man. He has no education.
So how is he living in a $77 million mansion? And how has he bought three islands? And how is he, where is he getting all this money? Well, since he doesn't have it, but see this lady next to him? That is Jesslyn Maxwell. She's got money, okay? Because her dad was a Mossad member, and the Mossad makes sure that their people have money. You understand? So her dad had money. So the Mossad, who engages in this honey trap business, they made sure that, hey, we got the perfect man to start a child pedophile ring for us. His name is Jeffrey Epstein. Okay, we'll fund him. Make sure he has the money to do it. He lives in a $77 million home in New York City, but guess how much he paid for the home? $10. This guy gave him the house. It was his house. This guy is Les Wexner, the owner of, what's that? Women's clothing for night, Secret?
Victoria's Secret.
Victoria's Secret. He owns Victoria's Secret, whole bunch of retail places, okay? So he's a billionaire. He's financing him to help him spread child pedophilia throughout the world. So everybody thinks he's a billionaire, but really he's just a sick individual. Okay, he's just a pedophile. They made me Nephilim or not, I don't know, but they have weird pedophile behavior. So here this young girl is, who was 14 years old when she started, when he brought her in. Well, she brought her in. So I'm wondering why she's not arrested yet, because Jesslyn Maxwell should also be in prison. Because she brought all the girls to the apartment and taught them how to make money. I'm talking from 12, 14, 16. He wasn't bringing any 18, 19. They were all 12, 14, 16 years old, okay? He's bringing them in, and she is the one who's going out recruiting them, meeting them and saying, hey, do you want to be a model? Hey, would you come do this? Give this old man a massage for her? And so she would get all the young girls to come to the place so that he could defile them. So he's not even a billionaire. He's not that smart. He's just a dirty old man, right? But he's being financed because he's good for this business because he has no conscience, okay? He buys an island. Okay, now see this girl, this 14-year-old girl, that's Prince Charles. Wow, huh? She's 14 years old. She's a runaway. She gets to meet Prince Charles. She's flying to an island that he bought. He purchased an island. Where did he get the money to purchase the island? Matter of fact, he purchased three islands. So who's purchasing islands for him? This guy and the Mossad. We'll talk about the Mossad later. They're making sure that they get this pedophile ring going because what's the name of the because the name of the message is feeding Nephilim. What do they need? They need child sacrifice and they need pedophilia. So Satan is making sure that the Nephilim are being provided with the children that they need to drink blood, to eat flesh, and to produce pedophilia. Okay? Now, I'm so glad. You know what, Pastor Ben? I'm just so glad that God called me to do this. Because I can't do regular church. Mm-hmm. We are in a spiritual war and you are living in the last days. Okay? So, this whole ring is going. He has a temple on one of the islands where they have child sacrifices at. So they do the child sacrifice. Now the young girls were saying there were other girls that would be on the island too, and most of them didn't even speak English. And he said when they got to leave, one of the girls would always be missing though. So what do you think happened to her? Child sacrifice inside the temple. Guess who's there hanging out with him? Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton's a weird dude. If he's not a Nephilim, he's the worst human being in the world.
Pastor Sandy, they're saying it's Prince Andrew, not Charles.
Prince Andrews, thank you. Thank you very much. Prince Charles, like, what? That's not me. Prince Andrew. All right. So listen. One of the young ladies was on Twitter and she said, hey, you know, my brother is a transvestite prostitute. He's a guy that dresses up like a woman and he prostitutes himself. Mm. And he has a bad drug habit. Mm. She's an favorite actress. She said, I went to go pay one of his drug bills off so that they wouldn't hurt him. And she said, when I got to the house, Bill Clinton was there.
Ooh.
She said it was the craziest thing. So you got to understand what you're talking about when you're dealing with these type of people. Now, earlier this year, what happened here? What happened here? Next VM. Remember Allison Mack? What TV show was she on? Superman or whatever?
Yeah.
Allison Mack. She was helping this guy, Rainier, run a worldwide pedophile ring. Thank you. Okay, is that me? Okay, now watch this. But he doesn't have any money. So where's he going to get the money to finance a worldwide pedophile ring? See these two girls right here? Those are the Brofman daughters. Claire and Sarah Brofman. Their dad owns Seagram's. When I played with Montreal Alouettes, their dad owned our football team. So I had checks with the Brofman's name on it. Listen, they are the billionaires. He is the patsy who is going to open this business and start helping them produce this pedophile and trafficking of women throughout the world. So it's called NextVM. The Brofman daughters financed them. Allison Mack is just one of the people that helped them to do it. Now, so what did they do? They opened rainbow culture schools all the way around the world. A school for children all around the world. They had schools called rainbow culture schools. And these schools were supposed to teach children languages. But what do they now have access to? Children. So now, when this got busted, they found out that pedophilia was going on in all of the schools all around the world. So now they're not only for adult women trafficking, now they're also going to go to prison for trafficking children all the way around the world. Okay? Do you guys know who the Finders are? The Finders was a group in Washington, D.C. The detective became suspicious of them and found out when they broke into there that they were producing pedophilia. They had pedophilia rings all around the world. Who's John of God? That's Oprah Winfrey's friend.
Right.
He had 300 victims just in his complex that he had. And these girls were getting pregnant from him, and he was selling their children for $40,000 a piece after he would get the young girls pregnant. And Oprah confirmed him, and guess who went to the island and confirmed he's a really good guy? Bill Clinton. So now you have all of this going on all around the whole world. Mossad, which is like the CIA of Israel, they're producing all this money, giving it to people. And this guy's Epstein, and then you got the Brofmans, they're Jewish, and you got all these Wessner, they're Jewish. And you're like, wait a minute, what is going on? But let me show you something. Let's go here in the Bible. Let's go to Revelation chapter 2, verse 9. Because, see, you know the Rothschilds are supposed to be Jewish?
What? Oh.
You Rothschilds claim they're Jews.
They claim, yeah.
Okay? The Rothschilds say they're Jews. Look, Epstein say he's Jewish. George Soros says he's Jewish. Steven Spielberg, the pedophile, says he's Jewish. Les Wessner, the producer of child pedophilia, says he's Jewish. Alan Dershowitz, the lawyer for Epstein, who Two girls have said that they were sleeping with him too. He says he's Jewish. Okay? And understand this. Now look, for getting Jerusalem back, why aren't all the networks for Trump?
Right.
You understand? So this is what the scripture tells us here. Revelation chapter 2, verse 9. It says, I know your affliction and your poverty, yet you are rich. I know the slander of those who say they are Jews and are not.
Say they are.
But are a synagogue of Satan. So there's a lot of people going around saying they're Jews, and the Mossad, who is an undercover CIA operative that finances them to do all of this so they can set honey traps for people throughout the world with pedophilia and all of this stuff. And they're giving all of this money to these people to control the world, okay? And they said, wow. Now, how is it that the fewest people in the world own 96% of all media?
I know, right?
That's the smallest country in the world with the fewest amount of people in the world, yet they own 96% of all media. 10 of the NFL teams are owned by Jews. 14 of the NBA are owned by Jews. Every commissioner in every sport except for football is owned by Jews. And you say, oh, Pastor Sandy, you hate the Jews. I love the Jews, those that are true Jews,
right.
Those that are back in Israel, that God brought them through 1948, brought them back into the land in 1967, and they're fighting for the right to have a sovereign state. I love those Jews, but the scripture says, here, let's look again. Revelation chapter 3, verse 9. It says, I will make those who are of the synagogue of Satan, who claim to be Jews, though they are not, but are liars, I will make them come and fall down at your feet and acknowledge that I love you. So it says, they claim to be Jewish. The Rothschilds claim to be Jewish. Epstein claims to be Jewish. A lot of these people that are being financed, they're claiming to be Jewish, but God says, I know those who claim to be Jews, but they're not Jews. They are a synagogue of Satan. Okay? So understand that they're being financed, and they're being financed for the control of the world for who? Satan. Okay? Satan is financing Epstein, the Mossad. They're financing these people, keeping this going. Now, here, let's get to this. Let's get to this. Okay. I want us to look at something here. Let's go to Revelation chapter 19. Okay, let me stop. Yeah, Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19, verse 11.
I'm sorry, Pastor, say it again.
Revelation chapter 19, verse 11. You know that Zechariah says, when Jesus returns to the earth, he's returning with all of his saints with him.
Yeah.
You know that we are going to be returning with him, okay? Because I want to show you something in Joel chapter 2 today of our trip back and what's going on. But you get the beginning of it here in Revelation chapter 19. Are you ready? It says, I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse, whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice, he judges and makes war. His eyes are like a blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but he himself. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. Who is that? Jesus. And it says, The armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses, dressed in fine linen, white and clean. If you go back to the scriptures, it says the white linen is for the works of the saints. Okay? So this, the white linen is representing the saints. He's coming back, but he's coming back with a group of people behind him in white, also on white horses. Okay? Because he's coming back with us. Now, let's go to Joel chapter 2. Because this is
Joel.
J-O-E-L. And it's behind Matthew. Go backwards from Matthew. When you get to Jonah and Amos, and then once you get past Amos, you'll be in Joel chapter 2. I want you guys to hang in there with me on this, because I want you to see this incredible trip that God has warned Israel when he returns. He's returning. He's not returning alone.
Amen.
He's not returning. Jesus is not coming back like, ta-da, it's just me. No. There's some people behind me, too. Some righteous people behind me. And they've been strengthened. They're in resurrected bodies.
Yes.
They're like the angels now.
Yeah.
So don't mess with them. You understand?
15, Pastor.
Here we go. Watch this. Verse 1. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Sound the alarm on my holy hill. Let all who live in the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. It is close at hand. A day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and blackness, like the dawn spreading across the mountain. A large and mighty army comes, such as never was of old, nor ever will be in the age to come. Before them, fire devours. So in front of us, fire is devouring things. Who is that?
Right.
That's Jesus. Before them, fire devours. Behind them, flames blaze. Before them, the land is like the Garden of Eden, because Jesus is coming to set it up. Behind them, a desert waste. Nothing escapes them. They have the appearance of horses. What are we going to be on?
Horses.
White horses. They have the appearance of horses. They gallop along like cavalry, with a noise like the chariots. They leap over the mountains like a crackling fire consuming stubble, like a mighty army drawn up for battle. At the sight of them, nations are in anguish. They see us coming with Jesus, and everybody's scared, and they should be. Fire is blazing in front of us. You understand? Now, here it is. At the sight of them, nations are in anguish. Every face turns pale. They charge like warriors. They scale walls like soldiers. They all march in line, not swerving from their course. They do not jostle each other. Each march straight ahead. They plunge through defense without breaking rank. They rush upon the city. They run along the walls. They climb into houses like thieves. They enter through the window. Before them, the earth shakes. The earth shakes, the sky trembles, the sun and the moon are darkened, the stars are no longer shine, the Lord thunders at the head of his army. His forces are beyond number, and mighty are those who obey his command. The day of the Lord is great, it is dreadful, who can endure it? That's us returning. Okay? They say they'll never see another army like this in the past or ever again in the future. Because when he returns, he's coming with an army that they've never seen before. See, they're doing all this stuff because they believe, these Satanists believe that Satan's going to win. Their whole thing is to rebuild the temple. Rebuild the temple. Who's trying to get the temple rebuilt?
Satan.
Satan. Do you guys know that? It's not just the Jewish people that want the temple rebuilt, because at the Kotel, they're dancing in front of the Western Wall and they're singing to rebuild the temple. But there's somebody else saying, yes, rebuild the temple. Why does he want the temple rebuilt?
He wants to reign in the temple.
That's what it says right here. A matter of fact, in The Lost Keys of Freemason, Manly P. R., he says, Satan will not return until they build the temple so that he has a place to sit. And then they will get resurrected lives. If you're an habitual liar, you can't promise me eternity. You can't promise me a resurrected life. If you are the author of lies, you can't make me any promises. They believe them. Okay? And that's why they're operating under him, thinking that Satan has a chance to win. But do you see the army that Jesus is returning with? Stay there in Joel. We want to finish this. Because this is good. Okay? Verse 12, it says, even now declares the Lord, return to me. He's asking Israel, return to me with all your heart and with fasting and weeping and mourning. Rend your heart, not your garment. Okay? Don't do a fake repentance with me. Tear your heart, not your clothes. Okay? Return to the Lord your God. For he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in love, and relents from sending calamity. Who knows? He may turn and have pity and leave behind a blessing. Gain a grain offering and drink offering for the Lord your God. Now watch this. That's the end of 14. We're going to start something new. Watch this. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Declare a holy fast. Call a secret assembly. Gather the people. Consecrate the assembly. Bring together the elders. Gather the children, those nursing at the breast. Let the bridegroom leave his room. And let the bride leave her, it says chamber here, but it says chuppah. The wedding's about to happen. The wedding's about to happen. So he says this, but listen what he says. Gather the children, those nursing at the breast. So he's saying, after rapture, take all the children. You have nobody to sacrifice now. Gather all the, even those nursing at the breast, gather them all. Bring them with us. For the bridegroom is about to come out of her chuppah. The bridegroom is about to come out of his chamber, and the bridegroom is about to come from under the chuppah. The marriage is about to take place. And Christ is about to he's about to take his church out of the world. They're showing you a new thing here. Okay? Consecrate the assembly. Bring together the elders. Gather the children, those nursing at the breast. Let the bridegroom leave his room. Let the bride leave her chuppah. Let the priests who minister before the Lord weep, because the temple porch and the altar, between the temple porch and the altar, let them say, spare your people, O Lord. After he takes the church, what do they say? Spare the people, O Lord. Do not make your inheritance an object of scorn, a byword among the nations. Why should they say among the people, where is your God? After the rapture, what are they doing every time? Trouble comes to who? Israel.
Yeah.
They said, save us now. Now that the bridegroom has gone, you've taken all the children, you've left. Now, he said, Israel comes forth and says, now save us. Don't let the nations say, where is your God? But God is going to rescue them. And when he comes, Israel is protected and the rest of the world is doomed. And guess who's behind him? The greatest army you've ever seen. I'm sorry, Pastor Ben. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2.
Doing great.
This is the end of this. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Because look, hallelujah! This is crazy. I can't believe that God called me to do this. I really can't. I mean, I could have been like a goofy preacher.
Mm-hmm. With goofy messages.
With goofy messages. Trying to make a preacher's salary.
Yep.
I'm doing this for no salary. And God has anointed me. I feel so good. I feel so good. And I'm thankful to God. I'm thankful. Free and thankful. Listen to this. Concerning the coming of the Lord, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1. Concerning the coming of the Lord, Jesus Christ, and, now in Greek, that and could mean even, which means and the same, okay? And it says, so, concerning the coming of the Lord, even our being gathered to him. Check out your Greek, you'll see I'm right. We ask you, brother, not to become easily unsettled or alarmed by prophecy, report, or letter supposed to have come from us, saying that the day of the Lord has already come. Like he already came for his church. No, that hasn't happened. He's right. Don't let anyone deceive you in any way, for that day will not come until what? An apostasia happens. What does apostasia mean? A separation, sending out, or a departure. So he's saying that day is not going to come until there is a departure.
That don't mean quitting the church?
That don't mean until everybody quit the church and find another religion. Apostasy is a Greek word. It just means a departure. It can also mean to defect, okay? So, but it's you're leaving, okay? So it says, he's saying that day is not going to come until a departure happens. So when the church leaves, then it will happen. It says, don't let anyone deceive you in any way, for that day will not come until a departure occurs. And the man of lawlessness is revealed. When we leave, he will be revealed.
Yep.
When we leave, then he will be revealed. You're not going to see any Nephilim in your day.
Right.
But when we leave, he will be revealed.
Amen.
It says, the man of doom. It says, the man doomed to destruction. He will oppose and will exalt himself over everything that is called God or is worshiped, so that he sets himself up in God's temple, proclaiming himself to be God. It says, don't you remember that when I was with you, I used to tell you these things? And listen to this. And now you know what's holding him back. What's holding him back?
Holy Spirit.
The departure and the Holy Spirit, because he can't come until the departure happens.
Right.
And he says, but there's one person that's doing it, because this one person is responsible for what? Holding him back. And the one person is also responsible for what? The departure. Who's taking us back to heaven?
Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit. So when the Holy Spirit, Eleazar, takes us back to heaven, the departure happens, then he can be revealed. Now watch this. Let's finish this. Don't you remember that when I was with you, I used to tell you these things? And now you know what's holding him back, the departure, so that he may be revealed at the proper time. For the secret power of lawlessness is already at work. But the one who now holds it back will continue to do so until he is taken out of the way. And that is the Holy Spirit. So until the departure and the Holy Spirit takes us out, the day of the Lord will not come until we leave.
Amen.
And he is not going to be revealed until we leave. And God is letting us know, time after time in Scripture, the church has got to leave before any of this can start happening. But look how much Satan is doing in the world in these last days. Sin is reaching its peak.
Yeah.
Look how much he's doing in these last days and all of the havoc that he's reaping upon the earth. God brings a man into office and everybody's like, look, I'm not a Trump cheerleader. I'm just saying, if you are pro-life, I love you. Because you know what? I was in that belly one day.
Yeah.
So if you're pro-life, I love you. There are people that were going to be aborted, and the mother changed their mind, and they're so thankful that they got a chance at life, right?
Yeah.
People who are not pro-life, they want abortions even at the 9th month in these last days. And they've already voted for it. So if you're in the 9th month and you have your child and you say, you know, I just changed my mind, I don't want it, you can abort it. You have broken no laws now because that's what they just signed off. Okay? So that's the time and the days that we're living in. The whole world was being saturated with child pedophilia and child sacrifice. It's going. Alex Jones snuck in and found your presidents, vice presidents, heads of top companies in the world worshiping an owl while they while they do a sacrifice.
In San Francisco, what's that called?
Bohemian Grove.
Bohemian Grove, yeah.
Okay, now he busts in and found them, and they're chanting to a 7-foot owl while they're doing a sacrifice. They say it's a mock sacrifice, but I think it was a real person in there.
Yeah.
And they said, what was going on in there? One of the little girls that used to go there said, oh, that's where they used to send us into the woods and have child pedophilia with all the little girls. Where they would take us to Bohemian Grove, and that's what they would have. That's the way they would do this. And so now look, this is all going on in the world, and we haven't even been taken out yet. So if you want to play church and say, oh, well, I think I'll be lukewarm with my Christianity. I think I'll just continue sinning, and hopefully God will just understand my sinful life, and I'll still be raptured. You can't do that. You can't be complacent about Jesus.
Amen.